on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, two more patients in Northern Ireland have tested positive for coronavirus, while a Donegal GP and former TD says he would favour the imposition of short-term restrictions to combat the spread of COVID-19. The Information Commissioner has declined to order that a report into alleged planning irregularities in Donegal be published. The newest Midlands Northwest MEP has pledged to ensure the needs of Donegal are articulated and prioritised in Brussels and Strasbourg. And the Donegal County Councillor has proposed the Lifford Stornoway Municipal District be twinned with an MD in Europe. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly. But first to news, two new cases of coronavirus have been confirmed in Northern Ireland. It brings to three the number of people in the north who've tested positive for COVID-19. One of the new cases involves someone who'd recently travelled from Northern Italy. The other person had recent contact with someone elsewhere in the UK who's tested positive. Here, efforts are ongoing to trace the contacts of a woman in the east of the country who's the second person in the Republic to have the virus. Health Minister Simon Harris says people who aren't contacted shouldn't worry.
Let's be really clear here. If you need to be contacted and the health service cannot contact you, we'll issue a public health notice. So in the past in this country, when we've had a measles outbreak and there was a person with measles on the bus and we needed to contact everyone, let's say the 45A, the health service would say, everyone on the 45A at 8 a.m, would you come forward? So we will contact you. If you don't hear from the health service, you do not need to be worried.
Meanwhile, a Donegal GP and former TD has said he would favour the imposition of short-term restrictions to combat the spread of the COVID-19 strain of coronavirus. On today's 9 till noon show, Dr. James McDade expressed concern at the potential for the virus to cause major harm. He said while it's true that most people who contract it will fully recover, vulnerable people can and will die if it continues to spread. Dr. McDade says lessons can be learned from the foot and mouth alert in the 1990s.
As minister during the time of the foot and mouth. And, you know, we did a huge job. We took extreme measures. Can you remember, you know, we were washing at the airports, we were washing the boots, we were washing. Yes, it was an animal related virus, but we took extreme care so we took extreme measures there. And lo and behold, can you remember all the stockpiles of burning, all the burning animals and whatnot that were in the UK at the time? We limited it to one part, I believe, of Northern Laos, which wasn't our fault. Actually, it was a smuggling situation. So we kept the foot and mouth virus out of the country by using extreme measures at that stage. Now, this is a virus that has already killed quite a large number of people, albeit it's a small number of small percentage. I mean, this percentage has risen. I mean, the flu would kill about 1.3 or 4% of people who get the flu, and this, I understand, already is between 3.5 to 4.
The Information Commissioner has declined to order that a report into alleged planning irregularities in Donegal be published. In 2010, former planner Gerard Convey made a number of allegations which were examined in a review of local authority planning published in 2012. However, the Donegal report was quashed by the High Court and a new report ordered. That report has not been published, and an attempt by the Times Ireland edition to secure through a Freedom of Information request was turned down. Journalist Paul O'Donoghue outlined what happened earlier to Greg Hughes.
It actually was published at a similar time as most of the other reviews. The problem is that Mr. Convey took issue with the report. The findings were quashed in the High Court in 2013, and then another review was done, which was completed in June 2017. Owen Murphy asked for legal advice after he got the review, so that was in June 2017. He got legal advice in 2018, and so far the report has just been left unpublished. That was why ourselves and the Times Ireland edition, we took a review to the Information Commissioner, arguing for the release of the report, because like that, it has just been left unpublished for such a length of time. I submitted a request under Freedom of Information laws to the Department of Housing, arguing for the release. The Department of Housing declined the request. And then I took a review to the Information Commissioner, which reviews Freedom of Information decisions. Information Commissioner upheld the department's decision. Basically, the kind of central point that they made was there was personal information in the report. So this could either be information that was known about an individual, something that only someone close to the individual would know, or information which was provided on the understanding that it would not be published. So on that basis, the Information Commissioner turned it down. So we're left in the same place.
Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have been meeting for almost 6 hours to discuss policy as the wait for a government continues. Leo Varadkar has insisted this is not the first meeting in negotiations to enter government, but rather exploratory talks. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
Teams from Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have been meeting since about 11 o'clock this morning to discuss their policies in a number of areas, including housing, health, the economy and Brexit. Simon Coveney is leading the Fine Gael delegation, while it's Dara Cleary at the head of Fianna Fáil's team. Fine Gael insists they don't want to re-enter government and these talks are just exploratory. But pressure is coming on for the pace of government formation talks to quicken as fears around the coronavirus escalate and Brexit trade negotiations heat up. We don't know yet if any progress has been made by the two parties today, but Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin are due to speak in detail again in the coming days. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
A Donegal County Councillor has proposed the Lifford's to Norlagh Municipal District be twinned with an MD in Europe. Councillor Patrick McGowan believes twinning with a European town would help secure funding for a number of projects in the area. In October of 2018, Letterkenny was formally twinned with the German town of Rudolstadt. This is something Councillor McGowan says would be of a great benefit to East Donegal, given its unique makeup bordering with Northern Ireland.
Most of our MD is a border with Northern Ireland. We have different currencies, we have different regulations, and obviously Brexit happens to come down now, but it's something we've been talking about for a good few years. Ireland is also, because of an economic situation for the next few years, going to be entitled to EU structural funds like we did many years ago. We'd like to twin this MD with one of the MDs in EU zone that are in receipt of EU funds, so we develop a number of projects. Now, it could be around greenways, it could be around agriculture, it could be around education, it could be around tourism, but greenways, and also the fact that we cross border. We've been very successful over many years in getting peace money, interreg money, leader money, and that. So it's something we do. The purpose of twinning with another MD in Europe, in my opinion, and most of the members agree, in order that we can come forward a number of projects and get funding, whether it's older people, young people, whether it's sectoral, whether it's agricultural, to do with transport, maybe roads, bridges, footbridges, walks, anything at all, like, you know. So we've asked today again that our EU unit and the council would look around and look what an appropriate country could be. That could be Latvia, Poland, any of the countries at all. Like,
obviously, if the funding were forthcoming, if you were to twin with a European MD, it would greatly enhance the whole East Donegal area.
If we can find an MD somewhere in one of the European countries, possibly somewhere that's got a border with a non-EU country such as ours, obviously we can work together, because some of them countries will and are getting a lot more structural funds than we are. They could be the lead partner this time. For many years we were the lead partner. We got so many, as I say, two-piece and interreg. It'll take time to work out, but at the moment we do have time.
The newest Midlands North West MEP has pledged to ensure the needs of Donegal are articulated and prioritised in Brussels and Strasbourg. Sligo councillor Chris McManus is to replace Matt Carthy in the European Parliament, pulling his election to Dáil Éireann. Mr McManus was initially on the Sinn Féin ticket for the Sligo Leitrim South Donegal constituency in last month's general election, but stood down amid fears the party's vote might be split. Sinn Féin President Mary Lou MacDonald says he will stand up in Europe for workers, farmers and families. Mr McManus told Highland Radio News it's a challenge he relishes.
I stepped aside from running in the generals in early January. We wanted to ensure we maintained the Sinn Féin seat in the Sligo Leitrim South Donegal constituency. And I now find myself in the totally unexpected position of taking Matt's seat as an MEP. And I'm honoured and I'm humbled to be able to carry the Sinn Féin flag out in Brussels. And Matt was an excellent MEP. I'm sure he'll be an excellent TD and a front bencher in the upcoming, you know, Sinn Féin party within Leinster House. I'm looking forward to it. It's a massive challenge. I've gone from being a county councillor to now, as I said, an MEP. My constituency covers 13 counties. And I want to ensure that the Sinn Féin voice and the voice of Irish republicanism is heard loud and clear out in Brussels. I'm looking forward to working with Pádraig and Pearce, our TDs in Donegal, and indeed Martin Kenny in South Donegal. Over the weeks and months ahead, learn what the broad EU and regional issues are for our constituency. And obviously Brexit and the potential fallout for our island is my priority.
One thing Matt Carthy had that you won't have is Martina Anderson representing the north of Ireland, working beside him. Will you now find yourself effectively acting as a surrogate MEP for those in Northern Ireland who still wish to maintain links with Europe, who still very much identify as being Irish?
Well, obviously, my first priority is as an MEP for Midlands Northwest, but I am the sole Sinn Féin MEP out in Brussels. And as an Irish Republican and as somebody who wants to see my country united and wants to articulate the issues on an all-Ireland basis, I will most definitely be representing all 32 counties and giving voice to all those who need it.
Police are appealing for information following a report of an attempted robbery and assault in Derry at the weekend. A man was approached in the Dunfield Terrace area of the city on Sunday night at around 9:15. Donal Kavanagh has more.
It's reported that three men approached a man in his 50s at the junction with Cuthbert Street. The men asked the man if they could borrow his mobile phone and have his wallet. And when he declined, one of them struck him on the hand with a glass bottle. An altercation occurred in which the man received bruising to his ribs. He was taken to hospital for treatment for his injuries. The men, who are believed to have been in their mid to late 20s, fled the scene without taking anything. One of them is described as being 5 feet 10 inches in height, of medium build and wearing a dark-coloured hooded top, dark-coloured bottoms and a baseball cap. The second man, who was armed with a glass bottle, is described as being 5 feet 10 inches in height, wearing a dark-coloured hooded top. The third male is described as being around 5 feet 6 inches in height and wearing a dark-coloured zipped-up coat. Anyone with information is asked to contact police.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop in-store.
At 14 minutes past 5, it's time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Gaelic Games. The three candidates for the president-elect of the Ladies Gaelic Football Association are all men. Sligo duo Micheál Nochtain and Liam McDonough have been shortlisted alongside Dublin's Dominic Leash. Now, Micheál Nochtain has held every position within Ladies GA in Donegal, be it on the sidelines as manager or on the executive board. A South Donegal County Councillor, Micheál is also a former president of the Ulster Ladies Association. The successor to Marie Hickey will be elected on a three-year term at next weekend's Congress in Loughrea in Galway. Elsewhere in Gaelic Games, reigning All-Ireland champions Cork take on rivals Kerry in this evening's Munster Under-20 Football Championship final. That one throws in at 7:30 at Austin Stack Park. This weekend, we'll see the Ulster Under-20 final showpiece being held in Clonus in Monaghan. That game's due to get underway at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, and there will be full live match coverage here on Highland from that tie. Donegal are taking on Tyrone. It is, of course, a Northwest derby to see who will be lifting the under-20 title for 2020. Tyrone are the defending champions. Donegal going as the underdogs. Donegal manager is SP Barrett. He says they're confident after wins over Monaghan and Down.
Well, yeah, obviously, like any team game you come through, players and the team are growing in confidence all the time, and that's the same for us as it is for them. The same for Tyrone, like, you know, the further on you go, the better you get and the more confident you get, and we're no different than anything else, and obviously the lads will have gained a great deal of confidence from the first two wins.
There'll be more from SP Barrett tonight on the GA programme with Tom Comack. It's going to be an under-20 final special. We'll hear from the respective managers and a number of players involved as well. Throw-in time to the GA programme is 7:25. In boxing, Jason Quigley looks set for ring action in Manchester in May. Matchroom promoter Eddie Hearn said today that he wants Jack Cullen to fight the Donegal middleweight on the undercard of the White Povetkin fight on Saturday, May 2nd. Cullen fights Thomas Andres Reynoso this weekend, where a victory for the home fighter would set up a clash with the 18-1 Quigley.
I'm planning for Jack to fight Jason Quigley on the White Povetkin card on May the 2nd. So zero pressure on Jack Cullen on Saturday night to get through with no injuries, no cuts, no anything.
Well, if the Cullen-Quigley fight gets the go-ahead, it will be just the second time that Jason has fought outside the US. Now to soccer. There's games cross-channel tonight in England and Scotland. With a look ahead, here's Owen Catterson.
Pep Guardiola says trophies won't be the only barometer of Manchester City's season. They follow Sunday's League Cup final win over Aston Villa tonight, with an FA Cup fifth-round trip to Sheffield Wednesday.
There are some seasons like you don't win any title, and for the manager, for the player, it was an exceptional season. You know, for the fact that how improved the team, how get rise. And it can be good for the media, for the people, of course, will be judged for the how many titles or prizes we win. Of course, that is important. But at the end of the season, I will give you my opinion about how was the season.
Tottenham boss Jose Mourinho says he's desperate to bring silverware to the club. His side welcomed Norwich this evening, with the winner going through to the last eight of the competition. Republic of Ireland striker Troy Parrott will be on the bench for the hosts.
We have a dream to fight for, and it doesn't matter. Kane, Lloris, Sissoko, or Sonny, or whatever, doesn't matter. Until we are in the competition, we are going to fight for the dream.
Elsewhere in the Cup, Scott Hogan will look to continue his fine goal-scoring form for Birmingham when they go to Leicester. In the Scottish Premiership, leaders Celtic travel to Livingston this evening, while second-place Rangers face struggling Hamilton. St Mirren play St Johnstone, Kilmarnock welcome Aberdeen, and Motherwell host Ross County.
Finn Harps return to Finn Park on Friday night, hosting the champions Dundalk in the latest round of games in the SSEA Trusty Premier Division. Both sides go into the tie off the back of defeats last week, with Harps losing at Cork City. Dundalk went down to Shamrock Rovers. Harps boss Ollie Horgan feels it's another good game for his side to measure up against the best in the country.
You know, we'd need a hell of a lot to go our way to make a game of this. What we don't want is we got beaten 7-0 here 4 or 5 years ago by Dundalk, and there was no shame in it. They wiped the floor. This Robbie Benson, I think he got two in the first 4 minutes. And if we don't start right on Friday night, that could happen. However, on the other side of it, you know, we need to kick on. Is it too early for us to bridge that gap? Only time will tell. But no better way to try and get over a disappointment of Friday night than playing Dundalk. And as I said inside there, like, it's great that we're talking about Dundalk, you know, that they're coming to town, and I just hope that people can come out in their numbers to support us and to watch what the top team in the country has been. You know, a bar 1 year with Cork, you know, the Dundalk have been the top team for the last 6 years.
And Harps boss Ollie Horgan. Finally, in rugby, World Rugby say the recent World Cup showed a 28% decrease in concussions. The reduction is in comparison to 2018 elite competition averages. It was the first World Cup to use the high tackle sanction framework. That's it, Michaela. Next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news. Don't forget, GAA programme special tonight, looking ahead to the Ulster under 20 final between Donegal and Tyrone this weekend. Action starts tonight, 7:25.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, people in Donegal are being encouraged to help shape marine planning for the future. The draft National Marine Planning Framework is now at the public consultation stage. It's relevant to everyone who engages with the sea in any way. Catherine Gaffney has more.
This includes people who make their living from marine-based activities such as fishermen and those in aquaculture and seaweed harvesting. There are also many people involved in the leisure industry whose income depends on the sea, from adventure activities to boat charters and tours. This draft National Marine Planning Framework is relevant to those who take part in water sports and water-based activities for fitness competition or recreation. Environmental interests, green energy generation and climate change strategies also have a bearing on future marine planning. The draft Marine Planning Framework is being overseen by the Department of Housing, Planning and Local Government. Anyone who would like to find out more or who wishes to make a submission can get further information at marineplan.gov.ie. The closing date for receipt of submissions is April the 9th at 3 p.m.
Donegal County Council is being urged to improve safety at the Murlock Junction in Lifford as a matter of urgency. Concerns have been raised over the existing danger for traffic approaching from Rafoe exiting onto the main N14 route due to limited visibility of oncoming traffic. Councillor Gerry Crawford says there have been a number of serious crashes at the junction in the past, and the council needs to improve safety there before there is a repeat.
That's a regional road leading from Rafoe. It's a very busy road in itself, the road past Murlock Church and Murlock School. It joins the N14 at Murlock. That junction is, in my opinion, a very dangerous junction. Vision to your left for fast-moving traffic coming from Letterkenny. They're upon you before you can actually see them. There's been serious accidents there. Indeed, there's been fatal accidents at that location. My call today is for safety to be improved at that spot.
The DPP has again been urged to drop its case against former Irish soldier Lisa Smith, who's accused of being a member of terror group ISIS. During a scheduled court appearance this morning, her lawyer also expressed frustration that her book of evidence isn't yet ready. Court's correspondent Frank Greeny reports.
Lisa Smith travelled to Syria a number of years ago after converting to Islam. She was brought back to Ireland from Turkey late last year, arrested on arrival and subsequently charged with ISIS membership. The 38-year-old mother was granted bail just before Christmas. Her solicitor, Peter Corrigan, said today that she was anxious to deal with the matter in order to prove her innocence, and he expressed his disappointment at the delay in serving the book of evidence on her. Earlier, he asked for the case against her to be discontinued and urged the DPP to again look at points contained in documentation already provided. The judge said that was a matter for the parties to deal with. Ms. Smith is due back in court next month when the book of evidence is expected to be ready for service. Frank Grania, Dublin District Court.
A West Tyrone MLA says the North's Infrastructure Minister must act now to ensure plans are in place for future floods in the area. Catherine Kelly says during Storm Ciara there was serious flooding in Oma, Trillig and Fintna, and all agencies worked very well together. Questioning Minister Nicola Mallon in the Assembly, Ms Kelly said the priority must be to ensure that resources are in place to allow an immediate response. She says the Minister recognises that, and that's a good start.
We had very bad flooding in West Tyrone, and in particular in Oma, Trillick and Fintna. The PSNA, the Fire Service, DFA Roads, Rivers Agency, all had worked so well together in a very coordinated and effective fashion.
You were asking Minister Mallon if she was in a position to make funding available. Many occasions over the past number of years, the clarion call was, we can't provide money because there is no executive. Now there is an executive. Is there actually funding being opened up and secured?
The Minister didn't answer that part of my question. And this is something that I will be continuing to speak with her about and ensure that there is funding allocated, not just for when something happens, but to have something in place there so that future plans can be made as opposed to just having to deal with something when it happens out of the blue.
Effectively, you want to have sandbags ready, you want to have the facilities
That's
there
it.
And the resources there that you can call on them immediately.
That's it. And when something like this happens, we try to be on the ground and supporting local people. And when there's no sandbags or people don't know who to contact, it just causes a lot of frustration for people who are affected by flooding. I think the fact that the Minister recognises that there has to be an approach taken and that they'll continue to work in partnership with other agencies is a good step forward.
Weather now, the evening will be dry apart from the odd shower. Tonight will be a cold, clear night with just the odd wintry shower and lowest temperatures of -2 to 0 degrees with a sharp frost. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, 2 new cases of coronavirus have been confirmed in Northern Ireland. It brings to 3 the number of people in the north who've tested positive for COVID-19. Meanwhile, a Donegal GP and former TD has said he would favour the imposition of short-term restrictions to combat the spread of the COVID-19 strain of coronavirus. On today's 9 till noon show, Dr. James McDade expressed concern at the potential for the virus to cause major harm. The Information Commissioner has declined to order that a report into alleged planning irregularities in Donegal be published. In 2010, former planner Gerard Convey made a number of allegations which were examined in a review of local authority planning published in 2012. However, the Donegal report was quashed by the High Court and a new report ordered. And a Donegal County Councillor has proposed that Lifford Stranorlan Municipal District be twinned with an MD in Europe. Councillor Patrick McGowan believes twinning with a European town would help secure funding for a number of projects in the area. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 4th of March. The death has taken place of Maggie O'Brien, Glassa Gwydor. Her remains are reposing at her late residence with house private pleas from after the rosary until 10 a.m. Removal from there at 10:30 a.m. on Friday morning for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass at St. Colum Kills Church, Knockfalla, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of John McCauley, Upper Drung, Quigley's Point. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Columba's Church, Drung, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Donations in lieu of flowers to the Irish Kidney Association, care of any family member, or Liam Collins, funeral director. And the death has taken place in Birmingham, England, of Cathy O'Brien, Birmingham and Mina Loch, Knockfalla. Her remains will repose at Rorty's funeral home, Derry Beg, until 6 o'clock this evening, with removal to St Columbkill's Chapel, Knockfulla, for 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery.